my nightmare. Every town has an Elm Street.
Let's get high.
Come to Freddy.
We need you, Jesse. We got special work to do here, you and me. You've got the body. I've got the brain.
This is God.
Told ya, comic books was bad for ya. Hey, Danny, better not dream and drive.
Nice hearing from ya, Carlos.
Stark. I don't believe this fairy tale.
What's wrong, Joe? Getting tongue-tied.
Yes. Souls of the children. Give me strength. You are all my children now.
Welcome back to the Skewered Universe podcast. My name is Jeff.
And I'm Leanne.
And we're here with our second installment of our Nightmare on Elm Street series retrospective. This time we're watching the 1985 sequel, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. But before we get to that, Leanne, how have you been?
I've been wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Good. It's been a little while since we recorded last. So I wanted to let everyone know how you were doing.
I'm fine.
Good. Is there anything you've been watching or doing before we dive in? Like anything you want to talk about?
Well, we've been watching Shadow and Bone.
We have. Even though you've already gone through the series, now you're watching it with me.
Yeah. That's usually how it works with me. I'll watch a series and think, huh, I think you'll like that. And then make you watch it.
Yeah, that's how you did the first season, and I really liked the first season.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure I would, and then, lo and behold, I did.
How would you describe the show?
You mean, like, what kind of show is it, or...
Yeah, for the audience, if they don't know what it is.
It's very much like a fantasy world adventure story.
Yeah.
I would say kind of like a... It's almost like a D&D thing come to life, but instead of, like... mages and clerics and barbarians.
It's basically humans against witches.
Humans and witches.
And evil witches.
Yeah.
Creating horrible things.
Good witches, evil witches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
The it's characters just, it's are good. A lot of fun.
Yeah. They are a lot of fun. I'm enjoying watching it.
I can't wait till you get to the end. Because you're going to agree with me. That too much gets left off. Like, way too much. It's like, okay, you're clearly going in for a season 3.
Right.
Which I'm down with, but I would like a little bit more closure, please.
You don't have to leave everything so open-ended.
I hate things that are open-ended.
I know you do, and I know people on other podcasts that I've listened to who have said the same thing. They don't like when a season of a show... has that cliffhanger ending for the next season. They're like, no, wrap up where you're at and then pick up where you leave off the next season. I don't mind a cliffhanger if it's done well.
I know, and I don't get it.
I'm just built different. I'm built different. God, TikTok's bleeding over into my podcasting. God damn it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. So along with Shadow and Bone, is there anything else you've been watching or checking out?
I've been playing Diablo 3 lately.
On your Nintendo Switch Lite. We're not sponsored, but hey Nintendo, if you want to throw us some cash, throw me an OLED. I'll take it. I'll review it too, very highly.
Give me some credits, please. Thank you.
Some of those, you know, like a few hundred bucks worth of gold points would be okay.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, ability to buy games for free.
Yeah. Please and thank you.
You love Diablo 3 because you were playing it for a long time on the PS4 before it jet-engined.
I was actually playing it in 1997 on the computer.
When it originally came out. Yeah. Well, you played what, the original Diablo and Diablo 2 as well?
Yeah, and Diablo 2 came out. Like, it took so long for them to put it out. Fans were getting restless.
Jeez. So I don't even know, because I never played games on the computer. I played a couple of games, but I tried to get into, like, Warcraft, and I never... Like, Warcraft, StarCraft, I tried, I couldn't.
I tried StarCraft. It was fun, but it was hard.
Yeah. I just... Something about it just didn't intrigue me. And then later on, I start to play... You're like, okay, play some Diablo 3. So I was like, I want to check it out. And it's not bad. I actually enjoyed it when I was playing it.
Yeah.
It's different.
I'm playing a seasonal character at the moment.
Ooh, look at you.
The goals are too hard, though.
Oh, yeah?
Plus, I upped the difficulty, like three or four times.
You do like to do that. You're like, okay, I need a challenge. This is too easy now.
Yeah, I like to do run-throughs.
It's just like you do it a couple of times and you're like, yeah, this is way too easy now. I'm like, why?
If How? I take what? More than a couple of days break, I start a new character. And I've already beaten the game like two or three times.
I just remember sitting there watching you play it on the PS4. And
I should qualify my statement. In playing one game, I'll beat the game two or three times. I've actually beaten each of the games lots of times.
Oh, yeah. She's hardcore. She's hardcore.
And don't ask me what the storyline is, because I don't know.
She knows how to get through the game, how to finish it, how to up the difficulty and do it again.
Yep.
And then get bored and go, this is too easy now.
Yeah.
So I remember watching it and I'm like, oh, you kicked these guys' asses. You're like, yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, my favorite character is the Necromancer. You get to blow up corpses.
Yeah, that's always fun to watch. And there's the new Diablo that's coming out, I think,
this
year.
What are you talking about?
Diablo 4.
Do I need to Google that? Because
go right ahead, because I'm not sure of when it's coming out. I believe it's this year.
Okay, we're checking in real time. Diablo 4? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Upcoming June 6th!
See, I thought you knew about this.
Jeff, I didn't know. Our audience is finding out with me.
Would you have preferred I not tell you?
No, because now I... Oh, fuck, I want that game so bad. Okay. Well, it doesn't look like they're adding new characters. Okay, whatever. It's fine. I'll check it out later.
Yeah, from what I've seen of some of the trailers and stuff, it looks pretty...
Fuck, now, okay.
I'm pretty intense. I'll show you a trailer after the show. And yeah. You can What am I trying to say?
On it.
Yeah, I was trying to say you can salivate over it. You can drool over it then.
Yeah, what have you been watching, listening to?
I've been watching a shit ton of South Park.
That's right.
Well, because through our internet provider AT&T, we have HBO Max, which has quite a bit of stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, they have every episode of South Park ever. So I've been going through every season of South Park. I'm currently in 2012, whatever season that was. I think it was like 14 or 15, I don't remember at this point.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they go quick. They're only 20-some minute, like 22 to 25 minute episodes.
And how long would it take them to create one episode back in the day?
Oh, there's a whole thing. There's a documentary they produce called 6 Days to Air. Mm. They do the episodes in 6 days.
Mm.
So that's like concept,
storyboarding,
visualization, and getting the show out. That's why things seem to be very relevant when they say them at the same time.
And then also like the quality checks, and mm-hmm. then getting the feedback. And then fixing it and putting it back out 6 days. That's insane.
6 days. I was like, you guys are nuts. And it's not like the network imposed that on them. They just did it so they could keep up a certain quality.
Mm.
Like, that's insane. But it keeps the show fresh, because when there's something that happens like several days before and it's included in the episode, like they reference it, that's pretty amazing. That's, I commend them for their hard work. I'm astounded that in 2023, South Park is still going strong. It's a testament. It's kind of like The Simpsons is still going, Family Guy is still going, South Park is still going. And, like, I know The Simpsons predates South Park, and I know Family Guy just came, like, shortly after South Park. But those three have, like, just stayed. So, yeah, a lot of South Park. I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe online with strangers.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Oh, I'm not good at the game, so it's not really that fun.
Oh, yeah, I forget you get mad at games.
Yeah, I get mad when I'm in a race, I'm on the last lap, and it's like, oh, you're in third, fourth place. I'm like, that's not too bad. Then all of a sudden, I get hit by three people. It's like, you're in 12th place. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Only three people passed me. Nope, the entire flock of seagulls was right there waiting to bone me up the ass with their red shells and whatever else. It's still fun. I don't rage quit. I play it. I'm like, I'll get it on the next one. I'll get it on the next one. I'll get it on the next one. And then I do like 10 races that I'm like, okay, I think I'm done. And then I just shut the switch off for that time being.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll go back to it later. You don't know. That's pretty much all I've been doing aside from my regular YouTube watches and pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Of course, AEW.
So irritated with.
Oh, do we want to bring up the whole WWE thing?
Briefly, because I'm irritated.
Okay. Briefly. Vince comes back. Company merges with UFC. He's given an executive chair position. And all of a sudden, he's back doing most of the creative again.
Like, yeah.
Like, no offense, but dude, fuck off. Nobody wanted you around. Your own employees and wrestlers were happy when you were gone, and now morale is dipped. I'm pretty sure, since one of the biggest free agents in wrestling, Jay White, just signed with AEW, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of his decision went to, oh, Vince is back in charge, yeah, I'm not going there. Drew McIntyre, one of their own wrestlers, hasn't agreed to a new contract with them despite them negotiating. They're saying he might possibly let it run out, and they're not sure if he's going to re-sign with WWE. Hey, go anywhere else at this point. If you're not happy with what they're doing, because it says he's not real happy with the direction his character's going, let your contract run out and leave. Pull a Moxley. Pull a Mox. Let it run out. Say, have a nice day. Fuck you very much. Go to another company. There's plenty of places. You can go over to Japan and do big over there. There's a giant Scottish man. He could destroy anyone over there. But anyway, yeah. Fuck Vince McMahon.
Preach it.
Fuck him right in his 70-something-year-old ass. Just, the man is a predator. He is a piece of garbage. He's out of touch with his fan base. So just get him the fuck out of there. So I'm hoping Endeavor, that is the parent company of UFC and now WWE, figures out a way to just get him out of there. Maybe the ratings will fall low and they'll be like, you're the reason, bye.
Yep.
Just give him his paycheck that he wants and get him the fuck out of there. But that's all I'm going to say on that. We are here for another reason tonight. Unless you have anything else that you would like to add.
No.
I think coming off of that WWE rant, we should get right into A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Someone is coming back to Elm Street. He is not friendly. He is not patient.
Kill for me!
And he is not a welcome visitor.
No! No! No!
But he has something terribly special for the new kid on the block.
It started to happen again.
Dad!
I'm in trouble. You've had some scary dreams, okay?
Help! Daddy can't help you now.
There's something inside him.
Monica! Fight him! You are not afraid of him. He doesn't even exist.
Freddy Krueger is back on Elm Street.
Get out of here, Lisa!
Jesse, fight him!
Watch out for him. We'll be in your neighborhood soon. A Nightmare on Elm Street. Part 2.
You are all my children now.
Freddy's Revenge.
From 1985, written by David Chaskin. We'll get into that. Don't worry, we're going to talk about some of this stuff, guys.
We're not going to get too heavy.
Not too heavy. But we're going to address some of the major things, maybe go through some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Of course, we know this is the story of Jesse Walsh, who moves into the Thompson house 5 years later. So essentially, a movie that was released in 1985 takes place in 1989, or 1988 if you're going by the year it was filmed. All right, timelines be damned. I mean, Friday the 13th did it too. It's the story of Jesse Walsh moving in with his parents to the Thompson house, and he immediately falls under the control of Freddy Krueger. Now, this story goes away from just the deem-dreaming aspect and has more of a possession to it, where Freddy is using Jesse to get his kills and sort of bump up his energy to be able to kill. In the end, the power of love saves Jesse because his girlfriend shows that she's his true love, blah, blah, blah. And come the end, we're not really sure that Freddy is vanquished at all. Roll credits. This stars Mark Patton, famously as Jesse. We have Kim Myers as Lisa, Robert Ressler as Ron Grady. I love Robert Ressler, he's great. I've seen him in a few YouTube videos and he's funny. He's a pretty good guy. Clue Gulager is Mr. Walsh. Marshall Bell is Coach Schneider. And of course, the infamous and the lovely Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger. Now, Leanne, what is your experience with this movie? Did you see this one early on, or is this more of a recent discovery for you?
I actually don't remember when I first saw it, but it was one I really liked.
I think you and I are on the same page, because I do enjoy this one. It's sort of the black sheep of the series.
The main character, the actor, I really like him.
He's really good.
He's such a good actor.
You really feel for him. Like, you felt for Nancy.
He plays unhinged really well.
That's very true.
And I don't mean, like, monstrous unhinged, which, yes, he does become that. But unhinged, you can tell right from the beginning that he's stressed out.
He's stressed. And I think the unhinged you're getting at is just not knowing what's real, what's not. Is this really happening? What's going on? I don't know. I'm stressed. I can't, you know, I'm losing my mind. I don't know what's really happening anymore. I've killed people, but I haven't killed people. What? There's that whole thing. And a lot of people shit on this for a long time because it broke the rules of the first film. Looking at it now, I'm kind of okay with those rules being broken. Like, it's not just Freddy in the dream world because there's a possession aspect. So I look at it as, if you take the first one, Nancy took away all that power he had, all that fear because she stood up to him. He still had some power in the end because of what happened at the end of the first film, but he's weakened. So in the second one, maybe it's like, okay, well, maybe their dreams aren't enough to give me my power. Maybe I can use this kid. He's moved to a new town, he's in a new house, he's stressed out from the move, stressed out because his parents keep telling him to unpack all his shit. I can use him. So I'm okay with that aspect.
You know what? I also love how supportive the main chick is. Like, she is so supportive of him throughout the entire thing. And plus she likes him and he's clearly a dork. Clearly a dork on multiple levels, okay? And she likes him, and she's gorgeous and nice. I just thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, she doesn't run away from him. She's constantly there.
And like you said at the end, love conquers all.
Yeah.
That's what the movie's about. It's actually a romantic film.
It really is. Kind of like, it's a lot like the first Deadpool. The first Deadpool is a romantic film.
Yeah.
At its heart. Yeah, there's a lot of gore and violence and, you know, evisceration, but at its core, Deadpool is a romantic movie. Yeah. A Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is sort of a romantic movie.
Yeah.
It also has some subtext, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Are there any particular scenes that stood out to you?
Well, any scene in his bedroom is my favorite scene. Like, I love his bedroom. And I was looking at all his music posters, mm-hmm. and, like, he had clearly one of, like, Stray Cats. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, that was Grady's room.
Yeah,
that was Grady's bedroom.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was Grady's bedroom. Just before Grady got...
I love that bedroom.
It is a cool bedroom. You can tell why, like, Grady's the cool kid.
And there was another poster right next to it. And I wasn't sure what the band was, so I looked it up. And, okay. So, first of all, here's what the Stray Cats sound like. Let me bump this up. Okay. And this is a band called La Mall. And then there's a song with Kajagoogoo and La Mall. Gives you a vibe of this guy's bedroom.
Every 80s kid that is listening right now just went, oh my god, I know those songs. For the longest time, I never knew that song, The Never Ending Story, was by that group. And I had seen that poster and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then later on, I discovered they're like, oh, I was watching something about The Never Ending Story.
It's so funny that the two movies are linked.
Yeah. That weird connection. But I have a weirder connection real quick if you want to get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. So you know the show Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Huge 80s sitcom, right?
Yeah.
It had a spinoff.
Oh, it did?
The coach had his own show called Just the Ten of Us.
Ooh, okay.
Three actresses on that show who were sisters were in movies involved in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. So, of course, part one, we have Heather Langenkamp. In part two, I have my list here. Oh, where did it go? That's not the list. I did a whole bunch of this. That's not it either. I am so unprepared.
You're unprofessional.
So, of course, like I said, Heather Langenkamp, who was in the first movie. Joanne Willett, who was in the second film, Freddy's Revenge. She was one of the girls in the opening scene on the bus in the pink shirt with blonde hair.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the third sister is Brooke Thies. She was in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. You'll remember her as the weightlifting chick who turns into a cockroach.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, all three of them were on Just the Ten of Us, and all three of them were in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. I almost said Friday the 13th, and that is sacrilege. It's because I'm looking at my mic stand, and I have a sticker with Jason's mask on it. But I do love the Nightmare series. I just thought that's a fun little, since you were talking about weird connections, never-ending story at A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
It's a funny connection that Just the Ten of Us, this, like, wholesome family sitcom from the 80s that didn't last very long, had three actresses who were in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. So it's like, wholesome sitcom, bloody horror movies.
And it's not even, like, one of them. It's three different movies.
Three of them. And technically, we can say four since Nancy returned in part three.
Mm.
So three of those actresses in four installments of the Nightmare franchise.
That's cool.
Which is really cool. And I didn't know that until I watched the documentary Never Sleep Again, which I will say that is where I learned a lot of my info about these movies. I highly recommend anyone out there picks it up, buys it digitally, physical, whatever. If you're a huge Nightmare fan, pick it up. It is essential watching. Now, there is a scene. I like the pool scene, the entire pool party. the beginning where the dad's, you know, flipping burgers to his jazz up through Freddy walking through the garden fence in a burst of flames.
Yeah, and with the wieners.
The red hot popping wieners.
Freddy's barbecued wieners.
That was actually going to be the original name for Red Hot Chili Peppers. Going to be Red Hot Poppin' Wieners. But, you know, they changed it. And I heard Anthony Kiedis really wanted to keep his Poppin' Wieners going, but Flea and the other guys were like, you sick fuck? No. Which is probably true anyway, because Kiedis is a piece of shit. Anyway.
He's also a Scorpio.
Fuck that son of a bitch. Giving Scorpios a bad name. You creepy mustache having fuck. Anyway, I like that whole pool sequence. Even when they leave the pool party and go to Grady's house, he's like, there's something inside of me. There's no subtext in this film. The gay tones are there from the very beginning. I don't mean to jump to that all of a sudden, but it's there because that scene, the scene with him and Grady in Grady's bedroom is very, there's nothing subtle about that. There's something inside me trying to get out. Grady telling him, hey, there's a girl who wants you, but you're here trying to sleep with me. It's just, but that entire pool scene, I just love it. Because when Freddy comes out and he starts killing people, and then there's the one guy who's like, I'm going to be the hostage negotiator for all my friends here. Hey, buddy, you all right? We can get you some help. What do you need? I'm here to help you. Freddy just throws him across the grill like, fuck you. I just love that whole sequence. It's fun. Is there anything that stands out to you as just ridiculous?
Yeah. Well, who has sliced tomatoes for breakfast?
I love that that's where you go.
They didn't even eat them. They just sat on the table. They didn't. And I even thought maybe they're making a breakfast sandwich? No.
No.
They just have sliced tomato. And then that one chick, after the main fight of the pool scene, her hair was just wild.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she got electrocuted.
I don't know what happened to this chick's hair, but it was all over the place. in fucking sane. One that stands out to me as just ridiculous is the parakeet. That parakeet scene that spontaneously combusts.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, there was supposed to be like a giant, not giant, but they had this animatronic parakeet that was rod operated.
Oh my and they could God, move around that would have been cool.
The head moved, the wings would flap and all that.
We should have done that.
It didn't look enough like a parakeet, so what we got was spontaneously combusting parakeet.
Okay, but did it need to be a parakeet? Even if it were this weird winged thing from hell.
If it's something being possessed by Freddy and changing its form, it doesn't need to keep a lot of the same form factor.
Yeah.
If you can go, oh, that's a bird. Oh, it mutated from that?
Yeah.
It's kind of the it mentality.
Yeah.
If Pennywise, it takes on the form of a werewolf, it doesn't have to be like a werewolf that we know, as long as we're like, oh, that's a werewolf. I recognize that as a werewolf. It doesn't have to look like, you know, Michael Landon's I Was a Teenage Werewolf or
Villains
an American Werewolf
and
in
monsters
London.
Don't follow the rules.
Exactly.
There are no rules for them. They do whatever they want.
And this movie.
They create whatever they want.
Very
Same
true.
Same in Shadow and Bone, full circle.
See? And this movie broke essentially all the rules Craven laid down before with Freddy. People didn't like it. But,
well, a lot of people don't like a lot of movie franchises. Like,
yeah.
Quit being picky. Just have fun.
When I think about it really hard, okay, and I know that that's difficult to imagine because my brain doesn't work that quickly. So it took like 3 weeks for me to put this together. So in 1982, we had Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. People hated it because it was different and didn't have Michael Myers. Fast forward 3 years to 1985, we have not only A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge, where people hated it. This wasn't the Freddy they knew from the first one. It broke the rules. Oh, it's also kind of gay. In that same year, we had a Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. New Beginning, which didn't have Jason as the killer technically. It was an imposter doing the killings. And people hated that film. Now, these three films have come back around and people are seeing the significance of each one and actually going, yeah, these are good. Halloween 3, everyone's like, oh, wait, this didn't need Michael. It's fine. Friday the 13th Part 5, people are going, this is a good whodunit. Because even though it's not Jason, it's like, this is a solid movie.
I'm glad people are coming around.
And Nightmare 2 has come around as being loved by the LGBTQ+ community because of its camp, because of the fact that it is such a gay horror movie. They love it. There's screenings of it. Mark Patton, who played Jesse, goes to these screenings and hosts them with other performers. It's become this thing. They dance in the aisles. They treat it like Rocky Horror, and that's what I love, is there's a respect for this movie now.
And I think it's really important for anyone that's going to watch this movie, you should also watch his documentary, because it's really well done, it's really thoughtful, and it really shows you what he went through and how significant he and his movement became.
Right. It's powerful. I will say, I watched Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street, Mark Patton's documentary, a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I teared up throughout the thing. It's powerful. It's moving.
It's good. And fucked up.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
No.
Not only should it not have had the gay undertones because it was deceptive, but then people shit on it because it did have it. And
mm-hmm.
both of those things are fucked up. He should just have been known for his great portrayal of this character. And it became totally blown up. And
yeah.
Everything that followed.
I mean, he is the first male scream queen. That is not me making fun. That is me giving him credit and respect as having that title. He is right along the great female scream queens we have had. Mark Patton is right up there with him. The thing that's most fucked up is for years, David Chaskin, who wrote this film, and for years said, no, there's no gay subtext. Mark Patton is just so gay, he made the film gay. And that's not his exact words. I am, paraphrasing. And Mark Patton was like, no, everything was on the page. Even Robert Englund has backed up Patton's claims and said, no, everything was pretty much on the page. Now, the director and a couple of producers must have been naive, or they're just like, we're not getting into it, because they're like, oh, we never saw it that way. Okay, plausible deniability, maybe. Maybe you just didn't see it that way. There's a number of things. Some people are just naive to things that happen. I don't know. I'm not going to claim that the director, Jack Sholder, knew and was like, no, I'm just going to say I didn't. We don't know for sure. His story all these years has been, I don't know. Several of the producers, same thing. Finally, though, in that documentary, Scream Queen, Mark does confront David Chaskin and finally gets him to admit, yeah, there was gay subtext in the plot, and gets somewhat of an apology from him. They kind of bury the hatchet in a sense. But it's like, there should have never been a hatchet to bury. You should have just owned up to what you wrote in that script. But that's as far as we want to go with that. I highly recommend you, if you're a fan of the Nightmare franchise, if you're a fan of this film, go watch Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street. If you have Shudder, I believe it's still on there. With your subscription, go watch it. It's great. And yeah, I have tremendous respect for Mark Patton. So do we want to pull away from the heavy stuff and maybe get into a little bit of trivia about the movie, some behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Well, first off, Robert Englund almost didn't play Freddy in this movie.
Who did?
A random-ass stuntman.
Oh.
Englund's agent went to Bob Shea, the head of New Line, and said, yeah, if you want Robert Englund back to play Freddy, you got to give him some more cash. Well, Bob Shea went, then we don't need him. Looked at everyone else and said, why do we need him? It's just a guy in a rubber mask. So they try this, and the guy lumbered.
Because a stuntman uses their body and not their acting skills. That's the point. They're not the actors. What the fuck?
Right. His reasoning was, well, Michael Myers is just a stuntman. Jason Voorhees is just a stuntman.
They're wearing a mask.
Like, Freddy can too.
Oh,
they tried it. The guy lumbered around like Frankenstein, was doing like weird, like stiff movements. Oh, just, my God. And they're like, he was terrible. So we finally, you know, that finally convinced Bob Shea that he needed Robert Englund back as Freddy. I was like, yeah, you think?
Part of it's his voice. The other part is his face.
And a lot of it is just the way he uses his body to portray that character. The subtle movements
What I'm saying is, I think a stuntman would not have been able to bring the face, the personality, the voice.
Right. There's a full body acting going on with Freddy.
I'm very glad they went with Englund, and he decided to do it.
Yeah. In that opening sequence, have you ever stopped to notice who the bus driver is?
No.
Robert Englund without the Freddy makeup.
Okay. Oh, of course I
do. Which makes sense see it later, because it's Freddy the entire time. So Kim Myers, who plays Lisa, the love interest, was cast partially due to the fact that she looks a hell of a lot like Meryl Streep.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Damn near a clone.
Okay, I was wondering why she looked familiar.
Yeah.
Like, I had seen her before in this movie, of course, but...
Right.
Yeah, she has a familiar face.
Very. Yeah. Very familiar.
Huh.
Like, I saw a picture of them side by side, and it's uncanny. It's like, wow. Okay, yeah.
She's very pretty.
Very. This is Robert Englund's least favorite movie of the Freddy franchise.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
I don't think he's ever given... That could be. It could be all the controversy around it.
Hmm.
Do you know any of the other actors who New Line wanted to play Jesse in this film?
No.
One, John Stamos.
No.
We would have had Jesse before Uncle Jesse.
Ew, no.
That's weird, right?
He needed to be blonde, though. He needed to be the blonde, blue-eyed baby face.
Here's one that's going to blow your mind, and now you'll get why I made the Power of Love reference at the end of Nightmare 2 when we were watching it right now. Michael J. Fox.
Let me think about it. No.
Boyish good looks.
I get
it. Tons of charm.
He's mainstream, though. He was a little bit more mainstream at the time?
Not really, because he was just starting work on Back to the Future and Teen Wolf, just coming out of Family Ties, still doing Family Ties. Oh, so no. Known, but just on the rise.
Yeah, but the other guy wasn't. The other guy was unknown, pretty much.
That's
right?
True. That's true. But it would have... Imagine a world where Michael J. Fox was in A Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and not Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That means we still probably would have had an Eric Stoltz Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a timeline I'd like to visit.
Yeah.
I may not want to live there, because who knows what other things that fucked up. Like, how many times we had a certain person in the office of president, I don't know, but I'm not going to go there too far. Yeah, Michael J. Fox. That's why I brought up the whole Power of Love at the end, because it's... Imagine Nightmare 2, Freddy's Revenge, that end scene, and then you hear, power of love is a curious thing. Makes Freddy die, and Jesse gets some tail. I don't know.
You are so crazy.
I am. So you know how the makeup for this film for Freddy had changed, right?
Yeah.
The makeup artist for the first film, David Miller, was not brought back for Nightmare 2. He had other things going on. He was already obligated to other films and stuff, so rightfully, you know, he couldn't do it. So they brought in Kevin Yeager. There were no notes. There was nothing from Nightmare 1 for him to go off of to recreate the makeup. So he just went off on his own. It was like, well, I made the nose a little more witch-like, gave him more of this male witch look. It's kind of my second favorite look for Freddy.
What's your first?
My first being the original.
Okay, me too.
And then this is like as close to second as you can get without it being equal to first.
Yeah.
Just because he's gross and like oily and wet and slimy. like greasy meat. Like it's just, ew.
Yum.
But the fact like they had nothing to reference, they were like, okay, well, we're just going to go from scratch and change the look. That kind of carried out throughout the franchise. If you look at each of the different makeups from that point, they all, there's similarities, but there's also differences.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Oh, I'm trying to see if there's anything else interesting here. Because there's ones that are, as you can see, I'm looking at my phone. You can see there are long ones. I'm not reading these long ones. The line, you've got the body, I've got the brain. That came from New Line head at the time, Bob Shea.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of an iconic line, so if he truly is credited with that, that's a nice contribution. Also, he was the bartender at the Leather Bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he originally wanted to play Grady's dad, and the director told him, no, we need a real actor for that, someone who can convey emotion. Because the director in the documentary Never Sleep Again basically said, well, Bob Shea I saw as kind of a failed actor, but a good executive for a production company.
There like, you go.
God damn.
There you go.
Then Bob Shea goes, yeah, he was kind of a jerk on set. That was probably his jerkiest moment, but we got through it.
There you go.
Like, dude, he just said you can't act well, but still gave you a role in the film. I mean, yeah, it was just handing Jesse a beer, but you got to wear cool leather daddy cosplay, I guess? That leather bar scene. To say there's no gay subtext and you have an entire scene that takes place in a leather bar where the coach of the high school is there decked out in leather daddy gear looking to get some action of some kind. That's right out in the open. Anyone could have got that. Apparently this movie, because of their culture accepting things like that more, this movie did great over in Europe because they're more socially accepting of like things like gay subtext and all that kind of stuff. They're like, oh, this is great, we love it. I'm like, if only we could have had that here. That's one reason why we got more, is the international box office and domestic, it still made enough to get more sequels. So yay, Nightmare 2 paved the way for more sequels. I'm happy about that.
Yay.
It may not sound like it, but I really am. So, Robert Russler, who plays Grady, had an audition for this role on the last day he was shooting Weird Science. Do you know who his friend is that drove him from the set of Weird Science to the audition?
No.
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, okay.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, what the f- what? Like, how? And then I'm like, wait a minute, did anybody ask if Robert Downey Jr. wanted to be in this movie? Then I'm like, wait, he was probably way too big of a star at the time to even be considered for this low-budget sequel at the time. I just find it funny that, you know, oh, Robert Downey Jr. drove me to my audition on the last day we were filming Weird Science. What? There's some weird stories that come out of this. Heather Langenkamp never asked to come back for a sequel. Never asked to reprise her role of Nancy for a sequel.
Really?
Until Nightmare 3. Hmm. Yeah, you would think part 2, they'd be like, okay, is there a follow-up story with Nancy? Yeah, there is. We didn't get it. We got sort of an explanation in the third one, but I still, that's not saying I want part 2 to be different. It's saying I still enjoy part 2. It's one of my favorites in the franchise now, just because of what it's done and its relevance now and how many people have come to embrace it. But just to kind of fantasy think of like what a sequel would have been had they carried on the Nancy story, what would the franchise look like now? No idea. So you know the scene where I said the line, I didn't say the line, but Freddie did. You know the line, you've got the body, I've got the brain, telling Jesse I need you to kill for me.
Yeah.
That scene could have gone completely different. Robert Englund and Mark Patton were talking about that scene, and Robert was asking, okay, well, can I touch your face when I'm talking to you in that scene? Robert also suggested, can I take one of the blades and sort of stick it in and out of your mouth as I'm doing this? And Mark Patton was like, nah, no, not doing that. And I get it. I get it. This entire film kind of fucked up his life because he wasn't an out gay actor at the time. He wasn't, so it really fucked him up, and that sucks.
Well, at least he asked.
Yeah. Credit to Robert Englund for asking. Then I think one of the makeup effect guys came over and was like, hey, don't. So Patton was like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm drawing the line. He didn't want to do the dance scene either because of how goofy and over the top and just ridiculous it was. And then when the day came, he was finally like, all right, fine, let's just get it over with.
Which that's a bummer.
Yeah. It's just so many things where you're like, man, they really just, we keep going back to, well, it's a big thing that, a part of this film. Did you recognize the high school they were at?
No.
You should have. It's the same high school that Daniel LaRusso went to in Karate Kid in 1984.
I've seen the movie like twice in my entire life.
You should still recognize it.
Okay.
It's the Karate Kid from 1984. It's where Daniel LaRusso went to high school and fought Johnny. And the whole premise for Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
So one of the things that is really fun, I think, about this film is just the fact that, like I said, it's been embraced by the LGBTQ+ community. They love it. I mean, if you watch Scream Queen again, you will see just how much they've embraced it. I embrace it. Just like Halloween 3, just like Friday the 13th Part 5. Where do you stand on this, Leanne?
I don't really have an opinion. I like the movie. I liked the documentary.
Yeah, that's what I mean about the movie. Where do you stand? Like, do you enjoy it? Is it, like, high on your list? Or is it just average? How do you feel about it? Like, where would you rate it if you had to?
It's one of my favorites.
Nice. Same. I enjoy it. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. You have really good performances.
It doesn't have oatmeal stares. If that one didn't have oatmeal stares, that would have been my favorite. But it bothers me too much.
Now, see, if you would have been in the theater in 1984 and seen it on that screen, it's not in high definition.
I don't think
and
so.
You would have been different. You would have been scared.
I don't think so. I was a kid when it bothered me. We had, what, 2-inch TVs? Give me a break.
Flickering CRT TV. All TVs were only in black and white and 6-inch screens. We only got our news on the radio before the pictures came in.
And plus, the second one is just more fun, I think. The outfits are crazy. The hair is wild. I was obsessed with all the different wallpapers.
Grady's room looks like the 80s threw up.
Yeah.
And it's but amazing.
Like, it's like the geometric shapes with like the bright neon green and the teased hair and the jean shorts that are too tight. The flannels folded in a knot.
Yep. Pretty much everyone wearing tidy whities.
Yeah, they were having a party.
Yeah. It's very much a 1985 film.
Yeah. It's fun.
Compared to the quality of like some of the other films in the franchise, I think this stands up as one of the better ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it a great horror film, like one of the greatest ever made? No, but you're not shooting for that.
No.
This is a fun, campy horror movie, and it's one of my favorite nightmare movies. It's not my favorite nightmare movie.
Which one's your favorite?
You should know, but it's part 3 that we'll be talking about next time.
Oh boy!
So yeah, I definitely think this one is Skewered Universe approved.
I don't know.
Are you homophobic? You don't want to promote the gay nightmare film?
What?
I'm kidding.
How rude.
I'm sir. Kidding. I am kidding. I would never call you that.
I'm just kidding.
I would never say that. Yeah, I think we're both.
Yeah, definitely. Skewered Universe high on this. I loved it as a child. You know, it stands up.
It really does. The effects are still good. I still like the scene where Freddy comes out of Jesse's body in Grady's room. I think the effect is still solid.
I like when Freddy died. And what's his face was like half covered in that stuff that she had to peel off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the charred remains of Freddy.
Yeah.
The melting Freddy face is still one of my favorite effects throughout the franchise. Even up to New Nightmare and Freddy vs. Jason.
I like that the railings were all on fire.
Yeah. It was a gripe people had. They're like, how is he able to do this in the real world? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, just go with it, man. It's a different movie. You know, if you want to break it down, it's like the redheaded stepchild of the Nightmare franchise. But it fits right in there, like I said, alongside those other previously maligned films of Halloween 3 and Friday the 13th Part 5.
I think it's campy, and I like it.
Same.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Suck a dick. My dick? Suck Freddy's dick?
It's a lot of fun.
Suck Freddy's dick!
Suck that bird wiener. I mean, he is technically a pedophile, so...
Crunch, crunch.
I mean, that's just gross. Let's not go there. That's gross. Never mind. What? I'm sorry.
Why do you do that? You'll say something and be like, oh, that's awful. Let's change the subject. I'm like, you're
yeah,
the one
yeah,
that said
yeah.
It.
I said it and I immediately regret what I said, so don't take what I said seriously, people. It is a joke. It's not meant to be taken seriously. I don't condone any of that anyway.
Of course not.
This is a fun one. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you check it out. It's available digitally. There's a cool Blu-ray set that you can pick up just about anywhere. It's still in print, I believe.
I just got go you rent a, it. Didn't I get you a figurine?
No, I got you a figurine of Freddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's here somewhere
he's
in all
of this.
He's
packed away a little
He's packed
bit.
Away somewhere. As you have that, and I believe you have a little keychain Freddy.
Yeah.
As well that you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have, on our trash can, we have a Freddy magnet.
Yeah.
So we do like Freddy.
And I was the hall monitor once for Halloween.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I was never skinny enough to play Freddy. I was always big enough to play either Jason or Leatherface, and I did both.
With pleasure.
With pleasure, because when you get people that you work with frightened out of their mind... If you're like me, you keep going. You get to a point where they're like, you can't do it anymore. You remove the mask and go, okay, I'm sorry, I won't do it anymore. But then you find the next victim. And it's funny. Until you dress up as something else completely inconspicuous and you make somebody
spill coffee
all over themselves and burn themselves and you feel like a big piece of shit. Yeah, that happened. And I still feel bad to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody to get... Luckily, the coffee wasn't super hot, so she didn't suffer, like, immense burns. It was just like, oh, that's hot. You startled me. Yeah. But seek this out.
Yeah.
Find Scream Queen. Watch that as well. I highly recommend you get Never Sleep Again. Watch that documentary. And you know what? There's tons of stuff on YouTube as well that's just fun little behind-the-scenes things you can watch about Nightmare 2 and the entire series. Go check that out.
Yeah.
But if you want to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com.
I don't want to.
patreon.com/skewereduniversepodcast. You can find us there. You can get hold of some transmissions episodes and soon to come audio commentaries.
Just kidding. I want to.
By going over there, becoming a member, you know, joining one at one of the levels, you'll get access to those. You'll help support the show. You can even recommend stuff for the show at a certain level. That should entice you. You can tell us what to watch. You can put us through the ringer when we do our regular interstellar interstitial episodes.
Fuck yeah.
You can put us through the ringer. Just don't suggest magic. We've already done it. We're done with that movie. We're not doing it again. But aside from that, you can find us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify.
Podbean.
Podbean.com. Go there. Search Skewered Universe Podcast. Basically, any podcatcher you have, you can find us. If you don't like podcatchers, you can go to YouTube. Catch us there. We got a YouTube channel. Just search Skewered Universe Podcast.
Sometimes the captions are accurate.
Sometimes. Other times, they're still fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because they get everything wrong. YouTube captions don't like swearing. So figure out what we're trying to say. Mute it and figure out what the swear words are. It's a new drinking game. Every time you maybe get one right, you don't have to drink. But if you miss it, don't do that. You'll probably be in the hospital with alcohol poisoning, and we don't want to lose you.
Cunt shit fuck face.
But YouTube is fun. You can also find us on your Alexa devices. You can ask her to play us. Find us there. You can find us on Instagram. Just search for Skewered You. On Twitter, at Skewered You. Instagram actually is Skewered _ Universe. Sorry. That's where you are on Instagram. You can go to Facebook, find the Facebook group, find our Facebook page, just search Skewered Universe. Join us there. You'll see when I post up about when the new episodes are coming out.
Join us.
Sometimes I might even drop little things about, hey, what's something interesting you guys are doing? Maybe I'll talk about the games I'm talking about. I'm trying to be more active on social media, so I want to engage the audience if they're willing to engage back.
We want to find our community. Where exactly. are you guys?
Exactly. I know you listen because I see the numbers. We're not doing too bad. We got constant listeners.
Yeah.
And you know what? Every one of you that listen, we appreciate you. We thank you. We love you. Leanne, do you have anything else? I do have one last thing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the notes, if you want to start a podcast, we're a Podbean affiliate, so you can use that link. It's going to be in the notes. Find it. Copy and paste it into your browser, and you know what you get? You will get 1 month free podcast hosting from Podbean with a paid unlimited plan. We get something in return, but it's all about reciprocity and getting your voice out there. You want to start a podcast? Use our link. Do that. A free month. It's well worth it. I've been with Podbean for a few years now. They are great, and they're a limited plan. You can podcast as much as you want, as little as you want, and you know that your stuff is saved. So check out that link. Become a podcaster today. Help us out. We help you out.
Suck a dick.
And with that, why don't you all just keep enjoying that universe that's just a bit...